So Rabotai, I'll tell you what we are focusing on now. And you have these packets that I prepared for you. Again, the pages are not in order, so please note the page numbers on top. And we're discussing the following issue. Okay, then? Our issue is about the case of a non-Jewish woman in terms of ones and mafata. Tosfos is of the opinion that in the case of a non-Jewish woman, there is no knas of ones u'mafata. And the reason for this is because Tosfos has a sugya in the first parak of Ksubas where the Gemara says we cannot give money to a woman who is non-Jewish because ka'azla v'achla b'giyusa. So that you'll see on Daf Yud Aleph. She'll use it for, let's say, idol worship. And the same thing has to apply in the case of knas. You cannot give the knas over to this woman. The Gemara over there on Daf Yud Aleph is talking about what we call ger katan matbilin osal das bezdin, and the Gemara establishes that higdilu yicholim limchos. And if higdilu yicholim limchos, the question is, how can we give them money, knas, and they'll go ahead, and when they reach the age of Nara, she'll be mocha, she'll make a mocha, and it turns out that she used her money, bigiyusa, for whatever monastery she used it for. And therefore Tosfos comes to the conclusion that it's impossible to give knas to a non-Jewish woman. And this is Tosfos' objection against Rashi. So we're going to turn to Rashi on Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph. Rashi Dibra Maschil Vehakusis. You'll see this approximately 15 lines down from the top of Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph in Rashi. Maybe it's less than 15 lines. Rashi says, Kosovar, Gere Arayosen. Which means that we don't recognize their Gerus. If we don't recognize their Gerus, then we're in deep trouble here, because then we're talking about a Nochris. And with regard to a Nochris, the Gemara says that we cannot give them these funds and they're going to spend them, big use of, for idol worship. The beginning of Elul Naris. You see Rashi Kusis? It's about. Yeah. So that's the Rashi. So it turns out that according to Rashi, although we may have an issue giving her the knas because she'll spend the knas in the wrong way, but let's say we would supervise her use of the money, or let's say she has a chazaka that she is not worshipping idols. In all those cases, the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, which says Yavira le knasavik ve'azlavik ve'ochla b'giyusa, that wouldn't apply. Why? Because we can oversee and guarantee that she's not using the money, you know, in the wrong way. I'll just leave it at that in a general sentence. Now, two Achronim, who are pretty much contemporaries, you know, we're going back to Ashkenaz, let's say 2.5 centuries ago or less, they are Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Hafla. They ask the following question. Even if we defend Rashi against Tosfos on the count of the Gemara in Yad Aleph, Yavina Laknasa V'Yozla V'Yochla B'Nochriyusa B'Giyusa, and will somehow guarantee that she doesn't misuse the money. Nevertheless, how can the Mishnah, according to Rashi's Pshat and Kusis, award a knas to a Kusis when the Boel is Chayav Misa? Again, we'll have to fine-tune that term that I'm using, Chayav Misa, when he has this relationship with a Kusis. And that is based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara has a principle called Kanoim Pogimbo. That at the moment that a man has a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, the Kanoim are going to put him to death. That's a sugya in Avodah Zarah. Now, if you combine that sugya with a sugya in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin establishes, in a case of a rodev, where again we have to put him to death, that he doesn't pay damages. Why? Because we have a principle that if a person incurs a chiv to pay mamon, and at the same moment he incurs a chiv misa, then we apply the principle of kimlei b'derabamine. Therefore, since Rashi identifies a kusis as a nachris, even if you'll solve Tosis' objection, you know, why, how can we give her the money? She'll use it this way, that way. Let's say you comfort yourself on that level, but you're still left with the following problem. Kim Leib the Rabbi. There's no chiv of knas because of Kim Leib the Rabbi. So what I'd like you to look at now, if you have this packet, just 1 second, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, and then the floor is yours. Herb, does everybody have a packet that starts at least on page Tzadi Aleph? Again, they're going to be, I think the packets are all complete, but they're out of order. So what you're going to have to do is look at the top left or right and see the page number on it. And you should have a packet that starts with Tzadi Aleph. So we're all on the same page? Okay, now Herb, your question.
Aren't you, isn't that a stretch? Kolei Ramane isn't even, unless you hold like the Rukui Ben Akona, it's not even involved in a chorus. So here you're going to extend Kolei Ramane even when there's no Mishpat of Misa.
But there's a Chiyuv Misa. How do I know there's a Chiyuv Misa? Because we have to put this person to death.
I'm not talking about the Rodev. I'm talking about
even the case of Baal Aral Aramis. You know, see, a man has a relationship with a non-Jewish woman publicly, we put him to death.
And if the guy doesn't do it,
oh,
it's not done. Whereas by Misa Bezdin or Karis, even if for some reason Bezdin can't do it, there's still the Chiv is there.
But again, what we're saying is the following. Whether or not we put him to death is irrelevant. What's relevant is, did he incur the Chiyuv Mamon at the same moment that he had a Chiyuv Misa? It could be that once he goes through with the Mice, it's too late. We can't put him to death anymore. He's no longer, there's no longer Kanoim Pogimbo. But if we can isolate one split second of time in which he has both a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Mamon, then we apply Kimlei to the Rabbi Mine. And both Rabbi Kivega and the Hafla, again, two contemporaries, but from different vantage points, they came to the same conclusion, that there is a problem here of Kimlei B'Derabamine. You can solve all your problems about giving this Nochris a Knas, but there is no Chiyuv Knas, because the moment that the Boel incurred the Chiyuv Knas, he was Chayuv Misa. Again, as I told you before, I'm using this terminology Chiyuv Misa in a very loose way. We're going to try to fine-tune it and exactly define it as we go along. So you'll see, for example, on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph, you'll see the following. For those who like to follow the text, again, I never know if you want to underline certain words, but if, in case you do, And you again, I have plenty of pencils and pens if you need them, so don't feel embarrassed. We're looking at the last paragraph that starts with tirates, and we're going to underline the following words. Matzinu lemeimar, this is Rabbi Kiveger, datam de nochris ein lo knas, the reason why a nochris doesn't get knas is because of kanoim pogimbo. Now, we just saw Tosfos that he says the reason why in the case of a nochris she doesn't get knas is because she's going to misuse the money. She's going to earmark the money for Avodah Zarah. Well, says Rabbi Kiveger, I have a more fundamental reason why there's no knas in the case of a nochris, and that is because of kanoim pogimbo. And he invokes a sugya in Avodah Zarah daf lamed vav amid beis. And here he writes the following. Again, you want to underline these words. V'havilei kemo mechuyev mises beznin. We'll see if Rabbi Kiveger is going to change his mind about this as we go along. But to understand his original position, you underline these words. Havilei kemo mechuyev mises beznin. Depater miknas. If someone is chayav mises beznin, that's the second Mishnah in our perek. We didn't get to that Mishnah. Baal bito, he doesn't pay knas. And the reason for that is because of kimlei b'derabamine. He's chayav misa for baal bito. Here too, baal anokris is chayav misa. Although he admits, havile kimo. Do you see that word kimo? You know, it's a chof adimyon here. But at this point, let's not put too much emphasis on the chof adimyon. And therefore he says that in the case of akusis, this is according to Shita Satosvis, because Tosis is going to disagree with Rashi. Tosis is going to assume that akusis had gerus, and our sugya and our Mishnah reflects the Shita that they are gerei emes. Nevertheless, there's some sort of an isur, let's call it a gzera of David HaMelech, whatever it is, against the akusis. And here, we're going to say that there's no kanoim pogimbo. But that's only according to Tosis Shita. And now, at the next to the last line in the page, he quotes Rashi Shita, who says that our Mishnah reflects the opinion that Kusis is Gere Arayos, which means if it's Gere Arayos, then we're talking about kanoim pogimbo, because she's a nochris. Is that crystal clear? So everybody, again, there are two premises here. Premise number one is that Kusis is a nochris, and that's according to Shitas Rashi that Kusis is Gere Arayos. And premise number two is that Kanoim Pogimbo. Well, there are three premises here. So premise number one is that a Kusis is what? Is a nochris, according to Rashi. Premise number two is that Habal Anochris is Kanoim Pogimbo. Premise number three is that Kanoim Pogimbo generates a Chiv Mises Bezdin, similar to the case of any violation like Baal Bito, who's Chiv Mises Bezdin. And therefore, premise number four is that Kim Levin Rabine kicks in, because if you're identifying a Kusis as a Nochris, and she comes therefore under Kanoim Pogimbo, and you're identifying Kanoim Pogimbo as a Chiv Mises Bezdin, hence there can be no chiyuv knas because of the principle of kimlei b'deramine. At the very moment that he incurs the chiyuv knas, he also incurs the chiyuv misa b'din kanoim pogimbo. And it's only when there's no chiyuv misa that there's a knas. Now all this works out very well according to Tosfos, because Tosfos holds in the case of akusis there was a gerus. But according to Rashi, and that's you'll see here in the Haflo, in the next paragraph, which is on page Tzadi Beis, and again, I just ask you to make sure you're on Tzadi Beis. So in the next paragraph, which is on Tzadi Beis, he says, V'kein kosav Haflo kan. The Haflo also, like Rabbi Kiveger, assumes that if a kusis is a nochris, then the halacha of kanoim pogimbo kicks in. The hiksha l'shitas Rashi the masnisin sreli the kusim geri arayasem amai yesh l'kusis knas hakim levi the ramin mishum the kanoim pogimbo. And here he equates it with the case of Rodef, where the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if a Rodef breaks kalim as he's running to do his terrible action, he doesn't pay for the kalim, because at the point in which he's a rodev, he has a chiv misa, And that's because there's a mitzvah to anyone to come along and kill the rodef before he commits his crime. And at that moment that he was a rodef and he's chayav misa, he broke kalim, he's parted from those kalim. That's the sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin. If you take that sugya and apply it here to our Mishnah, and you assume that a kusis is a nachris, and then you apply the principle of Masechta Avodah Zarah, that kanoim pogimbo, then kanoim pogimbo at this point is equal to rodef, and in both cases we have a chiyuv misa. And if we have a chiyuv misa, then there's no chiyuv knas. So the Hafla's objection to Rashi is, how could our Mishnah establish that there is a knas in the case of kusis, even if you'll convince me she's not going to misuse that money that you give her, and you solve Tosis's objection, but nevertheless, what about the objection of a chiyuv misa or kanoim pogimbo if she's not Jewish according to Rashi? Because geiri arayas. And then he says v'dochak, it would be a little bit of a hard press to say that since kanoim pogimbo only applies before hesya, maybe our Mishnah is dafka talk about a case of tzina, and therefore there's no kanoim pogimbo. He doesn't like that answer, and he's looking for some more fundamental answer to the question.
It didn't have kanoim pogimbo. It's machta nesara or it's minaraisha.
I think it's derived from the parasha of Pinchas,
right?
That Pinchas killed Zimri,
right,
who was the Nesi Shevet Shimon, because he was about to have this relationship, or maybe he was already in the.
Does that make it an Issa deraisa? Or does it make it a
I don't know about an Issa deraisa. I would say a Chiyuv deraisa. Yeah, for sure. Again, we're gonna discuss whether it's a chiyuv d'oraisa in a few minutes. I'm just trying to develop this step by step. The first step in our move to try to defend Rashi here is to explain that in the case of Baal HaKusis, there's no din of kanoim pogimbo. Why? Because of a loophole, so to speak, an exception to the rule of kanoim pogimbo. This, you know, for this you have to be a big bucky in the laws of kanoim pogimbo. And one of the loopholes in kanoim pogimbo is called noheges minog yadus. That if this non-Jewish woman seems to personify or reflect in her a behavior pattern minag Yehudis, then we don't put her to death. Why? Because even though she's not Jewish, but maybe she is Jewish, maybe she's in the process of becoming a Gioress and so forth and so on. So even though the original kusim were certainly not subject to a valid, they did not submit themselves to a valid gerus, but it could be that over the course of time, some of the kusim at least would have undergone a minag yadus, which would indicate that they did accept their gerus, not just because of the arayos, because of the lions, but that they were genuinely and sincerely interested in becoming incoming Jews.
Is it possible to say that Rashi refers to the group, the klal of the Givonim, and that if, when you look at the whole totality of these people who accepted supposedly the Yerusim at one time together, and he says that the Geiri Arayos, that that's not real, but then it's possible that there are individuals who...
So Yosef, let's hold off with the word... Are you up to the word vagam? Vegam misveka, do you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, so this I think is your approach. Let's see if we can read the vegam. I'm reading the vegam as va'od, meaning that at this point the Hafla is offering an alternative answer to justify why the kusis will receive the knas. And he says the following. Underline the words, nitmu bahem benos Yisrael. What happens is that over the course of time, there was an admixture, a mishmash, in which you can never identify with certainty a woman as a kusis. You'll tell me, well, her mother was a kusis, her grandmother was a kusis, but you never know. Why? Because there are all sorts of Jewish people that married into kusi families. And at one point or another, when we point to a kusis, it's really only a suffix kusis. So again, this is the second approach of the flaw.
So it's the a second kutit, and it's also a safek as to whether maybe they're noheg min hagyadu.
No, I think he's saying, again, you can argue with me, but let me just express my opinion here. I think what Tafla is doing is he's giving two answers, two separate approaches to how to justify the knas in the case of kusis according to Rashi. One approach is to say that the girl that I'm looking at, although she's a kusis, but maybe she in fact underwent conversion, a real genuine conversion motivated with all sincerity to accept and embrace Judaism, like Rus Hamoavia that we read about earlier this week, right? And that means that she has converted. And once you assume the possibility that she's converted, then there's no kanoim pogimbo. That's one answer. The second answer is that whether or not this girl is noheges minog yadus, that's irrelevant. What is relevant is that I can no longer identify a woman as a kusis. She may have a big chaf on her sweatshirt, but she might actually be a Jewish girl. There's such an admixture of mishpachos, of blood, that it's very possible that what we're looking at is really a Bas Yisrael. She's not a kusis. We assumed she was a kusis. Maybe she lives in the neighborhood of Kusim. She hangs out with the kusios. But she might not be a kusis. And misfeika, when we have a safek, is ein kanoim pogibo. So the principle that he's operating with is that if a man has a relationship in public with a non-Jewish woman, kanoim pogibo, but only if we're absolutely sure, without even a shadow of a doubt, that this woman is non-Jewish. If we have reason to believe that she might be Jewish, that generates a suffix, then we suspend the principle of kanon pogimbo. So even though Rashi identifies the kusis in our Mishnah as one of the kusios, meaning the kusios who did not convert with a genuine, valid, you know, halachically recognized gerus, but nevertheless, Rashi doesn't mean to say that we have absolute certainty about this woman that she is a kusis. It could be that she has a cheskas kusis. We have, let's call it circumstantial evidence to assume and believe that she is a kusis, and that's why we call her a kusis. But we can never be absolutely sure that she is a kusis. We always have to consider the possibility that she is Jewish. Why? Says the Chasam Sofer, for one of two reasons. She might be Jewish because she's no heges minag yadus. She's not openly, a paganistic religious observant. And therefore, maybe at some point she did undergo gerus. And if not her, maybe her mother. Secondly, we're not sure that she is a pure descendant of the kusim. She may be a descendant of a Jewish mother, because somewhere along the line, people started marrying kusios and marrying Yisraelios, and the families got all mishkababbled. In fact, there's an entire perek in Shas that's dedicated to this concept of mishkababble. What's that perek called? Asar Yuchsin, right? There's the whole parak of Asar Yuchsin, which is the fourth parak and the last parak of Kiddusha, very complicated parak, is all based on, Sofek Mamzer and Sofek Asufi and so forth and so on, where you don't know, what the lineage of a person is. Today there are people who claim, by the way, that there are non-Jews in Portugal who are Jews. Right. Because the Portuguese were very careful about the Muranos. They didn't allow their Christian daughters to marry, or Christian sons to marry the Muranos. And it's very possible that even though, 5 centuries after the Inquisition, these people are observing Christianity, they may be halachically Jewish. And again, I'm not, don't quote me on this, but I'm just telling you what's going on over here. There's some wild things. And these kind of analysis are going on in many different places in the world. Certain communities in Italy, in Portugal, maybe even in Spain. There's such a mixture of mishkababble of who's Jewish and who's not. So by now, any of the Muranos are Christians today, al pi Allah. But if you have an umdana that the Muranos remained separately and they married within each other, even though they lost their Yiddishkeit in terms of observance, but they still might be halachically Jewish. And some of these people, believe it or not, might want to become Jewish. So maybe you'll have a Geirus Lechumra, but really they're Jewish. So anyway, this whole idea of Mishka Babel is a contemporary issue. But what's relevant to us here is that the answer to the question of Kanoim Pogimbo, according to the Hafla, is that there is no Kanoim Pogimbo. Why? Suffolk. And that's the key of keys over here. And that is going to engender an entire literature here that we want to study today. What would be the halacha as far as kimlei b'derabamineh in a case of suffolk? We don't know if there's a chiyuv misa. Well, okay, I understand very well if we don't know if there's a chiyuv misa here, then there's no kanoim pogimbo. You can't kill a person because maybe she's not Jewish. Because I'm always going to argue maybe she is Jewish. And that's enough to force the halacha, which this is called in Shas, as you know, Safek Nefashos Lahakel, that if we don't know if a person, with certainty, we don't know that a person has to be put to death, we're not going to put him to death because maybe he deserves to be put to death. But that's only as far as Kanoim Pogimbo Befal is concerned. But if you isolate the Chiyuv Misa is in a Safek situation. And therefore, how are you going to force the Boel to pay the Knas? That's the next paragraph. What we see from Rabbi Kivager and the flaw is the Safek Chiyuv Misa. Please underline the next three words. Lo Amrinon Kim Levidarabimineh. In other words, the flaw is trying to justify why the Mishnah says that in the case of all akusis you pay Knas. And now, if you're paying knas, obviously there's no kimlei d'rabbinei. In fact, why isn't there kimlei d'rabbinei? There's kanoim pogimbo. Says the Hafla, we don't know if there's kanoim pogimbo, and therefore we can't put this guy to death. It's a safek chiyuv. If it's a safek chiyuv, mamela, there's no kimlei d'rabbinei, and we're going to force him to pay money. And now we're stuck in a very, very complicated situation. Why? Because let's distinguish between two different areas of suffolk, meaning every suffolk addresses a certain area in halacha. There are many sfeikas that address what we call suffolk isur, correct? So we have principles like suffolk dorais lechumra, etc., etc. Then you have sfeikas that address onshim. So we're going to say suffolk misa lekula, right? Suffolk nefashos lahakil. You can have another area addressing suffolk, and that's going to be dini mominos. And here the principle is going to be Amotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. So let's now take that flaw and put that flaw under the microscope. And when we put the premise or the conclusion of the flaw under a microscope, we're really, really confused about this. How could that flaw say that just because there's a suffolk as to whether or not a pogimbo, therefore, kimlei b'derabbinei doesn't apply. Kimlei b'derabbinei is addressing what area of halacha? Okay, is it addressing onshim? Is it addressing isurim? Or is it addressing mammon? Everybody, can I get a unanimous decision here? No. It's addressing mammon. We want to know whether or not the boel has to pay the knas. So you're going to tell me, well, I don't know if there's a chiyuv misa here. Why? Because maybe she's Jewish, blah blah blah, and therefore there's no kanoim pogimbo. Okay, there's no kanoim pogimbo. We can't put someone to death if we don't know that he deserves to die. But as far as collecting mammon is concerned, which is kimlei d'rabbinei, we have a principle of ein holchim b'mammon achar rov or hamotzi mechavel v'araya. You can't be motzi mammon even based on a rov, but certainly not in the case of safek. You cannot force someone to pay. So take, for example, the famous Mishnah in Bava Kama, which you'll see are quoted on the third line of this paragraph, Lamadnu Midivreya. We're talking about Hamadlik Eskedishel Shal Chaver B'Shabbos. Now, we have a principle called Mekalkel. Mekalkel is Potur. Again, whether Mekalkel applies to Meleches Havor or not is a sugya. But let's assume that a mavir is only chayev if he has a purpose, a constructive purpose. He's metaken and he's not mekalkel. What happens if we don't know? We don't know whether or not he's burning down this haystack because he needs the ashes, or he doesn't need the ashes. It's just purely destructive. It's a mekalkel. So Rashi commits himself in Masechta Bava Kamma to the following position: that if we have a suffix, we don't know if he's a mekalkel and he's potter from misa, or he was a masakin, he's tzarich liofro and he's chay of misa. In such a case, Rashi says he's potter from mamon. He does not pay damages for destroying someone's haystack. Why? Because we might have a situation here of a masake, and he needs it for his afer. That generates a chiyuv misa, and we're going to apply the principle of kim levi l'ramine. L'maisa, we're not going to put him to death, because we don't know if he was an attacking or he's mekalkel. But since we don't know, and there's a, let's call it a 50% chance, for just for the sake of argument, there's a 50% chance that he is a metaken and he needs the afer, is therefore he violated a chiyuv Shabbos. Well, on that 50% basis, he is going to be potter from mama. You'll argue, but maybe there's a 50% chance that he was mekalkel and he's not chayav misa. Okay, we're not going to put him to death. But on the other hand, we can't force him to pay damages for burning down someone's gadish, because he's going to claim, he's going to wave the flag of chiyuv misa in this case. I mean, his lawyers will do so. I don't think he wants to admit that he was chiyuv misa, but his lawyers will come forward, and we apply the principle of safek mamon lekula. Now, if we take the principle of the hafla, we come to the exact opposite conclusion. Namely, that you have to pay because there's no chiyuv misa, right? We can't put you to death because Kanon Pogbo is suspended, maybe she's Jewish. Hence, let him pay the knas. What do you mean let him pay the knas? He has a right to say that she's not Jewish. And if she's not Jewish, it was a chiyuv misa. We apply the principle of Kimlei Ramini. So you have a suffix Kimlei Ramini in Mamon. We should say, Amotzi Mechavel of Araya. You go prove that she was Jewish. I'm going to prove that she's not Jewish. Or at least, in the absence of any proof that she's Jewish, I have a right to hide behind the possibility that she's not Jewish. Kanoim Pogumbo should apply. Again, he's saying this about himself, but his lawyer is saying this, you follow what I mean? And therefore, I don't have to pay mama. So how do we reconcile this? That on the one hand, the Hafla says that whether you apply Kimlei Ramini is totally dependent upon Kanoim Pogumo or not Kanoim Pogumo, and if there's no Kanoim Pogumo, he has to pay the Mamon. When we see clearly, and that's the Sugya Bava Kamma according to Rashi's interpretation at least, that if there's a Suffolk of Misa, he would not pay the Mamon because Hamotzi Michal Varaya. In fact, and this is absolutely fascinating to me, the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Shabbos argues against Rabbi Kivega in that flaw, and he writes, and this you'll see on the top of the left column, the gam sofek chiyuv misa potu mitash lumen. And based on this sheet of the Magen Avraham, he has a problem with the tour. Okay, this is very, very interesting. So again, does everybody have the names lined up here? We have two achronim who lived about 2.5 centuries ago, the Hafla from Germany and Rabbi Kivega from Litta, and they both came to the same conclusion that in order to justify Rashi that you pay knas in the case of Baal HaKusis, even though Kusis is a whatchamacallit, a Geri Arayos, we have to say that there's a suffix. Maybe she's Jewish, maybe she's not. We have to suspend therefore the principle of Kimle of Kanoim Pogumbo, and hence we're going to suspend the principle of Kim Leib and the Ramine. On the other end of the spectrum, we have the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham is going to say that even in the case of a Suffolk, you're going to have to say there's no payment. You're going to apply Suffolk Kim Leib and the Ramine as a case of Suffolk Mamon and Hamotzi Mechavela Varaya. Let's just take a minute to understand the question of the Magen Avraham on the tour. We have a machlokes, excuse me, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about malacha sheinetzricha legufa. According to Rabbi Shimon, malacha sheinetzricha legufa is potter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, malacha sheinetzricha legufa is chayav. Now, in the case in Choshe Mishpat, of Chovel Bechaveru B'Shabbos, which is a case of Malacha Shenitzricha L'Gufa. Let's explain why. A man beats up his friend on Shabbos and he draws blood. Now, the Malacha of drawing blood is going to be in the case where he needs the dam. Now, exactly why he needs the dam, that self is Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And it's either because he wants to paint the Beis Ablia in the case of Shechita, because then he sells it as fresh meat and he gets a higher price, or maybe because he needs the dam to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Again, there are many different ways of understanding this, but the Malacha of Netilas Neshama applies when he needs the dam. In the case of Chovel B'Chavero, he doesn't need the dam. He just wants to beat the living daylights out of his friend. He's not collecting the dam in a little pail. He's not working for Magen David Adom, you know, for a blood donation. So here we have the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's a malacha shenit grifa legufa, and therefore he's potter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, malacha shenit tzricha legufa is chayav. Oh, so the Torah paskins in Choshen Mishpat that a chovil b'chaver b'shabbos is potter from tashlumin because of kimle b'deravimine. So now you have to ask the following question, and the Torah himself raises this question, but we're interested in the Torah's answer to this question. How could you apply the principle of Kimle B'Ravamine in the case of Chovel B'Chavero when, in fact, we paskin like Reb Shimon that Malach Shen Tzvich L'Guf is potter? So Chovel B'Chavero, he doesn't need the dam, he just wants to beat the living daylights out of his friend, is Malach Shen Tzvich L'Guf. So how could the Torah say, and that's the Torah's kash on himself, how could I apply the principle here of potter tashlum and kimlei ramine? So he offers the following answer. And he says the following. I don't know. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? We paskin like Reb Shimon. Do we not paskin like Reb Shimon? If we paskin like Reb Shimon, ain't ochinami, there's no kimlei v'drabine. But if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, then there is kimlei v'drabine, even though it's ain't tzarich l'dama, because malach shen tzrich l'guf is chayav. Comes along the tour, and he says, if we don't know what to do, and whether or not to apply kimlei v'drabine, then Potter mitashlumen. Again, the potter mitashlumen here is not because he's accepting the view of Rabbi Yehuda, namely that Malach Shen is Gruful is Chayev. He doesn't know. He vacillates back and forth. It could be we paskin like Reb Shimon. And we paskin like Reb Shimon, then there's no Kimlei B'Ravamine. Well, in a suffix where there's Kimlei B'Ravamine, we're not going to be able to extract Mammon from the violator of Shabbos, right, who burnt down. Or I shouldn't say burnt down, because now we're talking about a Chovel case where he beat up his friend. Because maybe we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and in event that we paskin like Rabbi Malach Shen Tzrichu V'Chayev, then there's Kimlei B'Ravamine. Says the Magen Avraham, you see clearly that according to the Torah, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei B'Ravamine even in a case of Suffolk. We have a Suffolk Chiyuv violating Shabbos, whether he's Chayiv Miso or not. All depends on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Torah says, I don't know how to paskin. And in such a case, we can't be Motzi Mammon. We're going to have to apply the principle of Kimlei Rabbinei ala Suffolk. Alma, and here's where you might want to underline it. Alma, the Suffolk Chiyuv Miso poter mitashlumin. So that not only is this the Magen Avraham's opinion, but he claims that this is the Torah's opinion, because the Torah raised this question: how can we paskin in the case of Chovel B'Chaver these potur when we accept the sheet of Reb Shimon and there's no chiyuv misa for Shabbos because of Lachshen Tzulugufa? Answers the Torah: we're not sure about this. We might actually paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, in which case there is kimlei v'drabinei, and therefore besafek chiyuv misa potur mitashlumin.
But doesn't sound to me like he's saying, maybe explain this, I missed it, but that the reason why the Torah is pottering him for money is because of Kimli Rami. He's doing it because of Masvechim Kaveral Raya. I mean, it's a suffix of Mamas. It's not because of Kimli Rami. the two different possibilities.
Well, wait a minute. When you say Suffolk Mama, what's the Suffolk? What's the tzad? I mean, we know he beat the guy, you know, blue in the face.
It's a Suffolk Mama because it's a tzad to say he's chayav Mama only because it came with a rabbi. So since that's even a possibility, therefore of a Suffolk Mama.
Right.
So it's not a, okay.
Right. In other words, there's no doubt about the fact that he beat the guy blue in the face. You know what I'm saying? He, you know, the chayav Mama, he had the compensation, you know, in the case of Chovel, he's chayav for five things. That's, we had a long discussion about this morning. There's no question that that should apply here. So how does the Torah say that he's potter? Right. And the only answer we can come up with is that maybe we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, then we have to apply the principle of Kimlei Rami. But maybe we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But the answer is Hamotzi Mekamel of Araya. This is the position of the Magen Avraham. And now with tremendous scholarship, he says that this is not just the Magen Avraham. He has a tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda, which you'll see here, he notes here in number Lamed, Madura Tinyona Choshe Mishpat Simon Nun Tes. So maybe we want to print that out if we have a chance. But you know what? I don't even think it's so crucial. He has a Prima Gadim in Hilchos Shabbos. Where is this? Number Mem. Okay, I lost it. You know, it's sometimes the letters on the bottom are very small. Mem, oh, here it is on the left side of the bottom. B'psicha kolelis. Now, if you're a big lamdan, you know the psicha kolelis of the Prima Gadim by heart. No, I'm not joking with you. You should know this. The Prima Gadim was a tremendous lamdan. You know, when we look at the Noda B'Yehuda, so sometimes we see him more as a posek than as a lamdan, although I'm not denying that the Noda B'Yehuda was a great lamdan. But the Prima Gadim is like pure lamdus. And in this case, in the Psicha Kolelis, the Prima Gadim has a comment on the Magen Avraham. I don't think he's arguing with the logic of the Magen Avraham, but he's saying that I have proof from the tour that he actually paskins like Reb Shimon, and he never vacillated about that point. So again, now we have another investigation, which is way off the mark for us, as to whether or not the tour considered the possibility that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And by the way, that has tremendous implications in halacha, because Malach and Tzuchaguf is left, right, and center. And if you're going to worry about Rabbi Yehuda, which by the way the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda, then any case of a Suffolk Malach HaShenit Tzvich L'Gufa becomes upgraded to a Suffolk Doraisa. Whereas we pass like Rav Shimon, and that's what the Prima Gadim wants to point out, and therefore any Suffolk is only Derabbanan. It's what you call Patra Avalasa. So I'm just pointing out here exactly what the sheet of the poskim is on Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon has amazing repercussions. There's going to be one school of thought that forget about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't exist. Like Rabbi Shammai and Beis Ilba, Rabbi Shammai doesn't exist. So you don't even have to scratch your nose about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't exist. We passing like Rabbi Shimon. The Rambam, on the other hand, passing like Rabbi Yehuda. And all of the Chidushim, almost of Rabbi Chaim and Hilchos Shabbos, are all based on that Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, where he passing like Rabbi Yehuda. Because all these issues come up. Like Tzedis Nachash and Mafis Mursa, you know, how could the Rambam allow that when he passes like Rabbi Yehuda Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa? So Rav Chaim is always going to say, but it's a Dovah Shein Miskavet, and even if we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the Rambam Shita and Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa, but we accept Rabbi Shimon and Dovah Shein Miskavet. And this is exciting. I mean, it's, I don't know, Yechiel, you may remember, John, do you remember we had long discussions about this Rav Chaim? So what we're left with now, Rabosai, is that the logic of the Magen Avraham is very compelling, and that is that you can't be motzi mamon b'safek, and even if you don't know whether Kimlei B'Ramine should apply or not, maybe it does apply, and that should be enough to exempt him. How could Rashi say, according to Rabbi Kiveger and the Afla, that we're going to collect the knas from a bal akusis when maybe in fact she is akusis, and if she's akusis, he doesn't have to pay knas because of kanoim pogum. Ubedas hagon Rabbi Kiveger tzarchim. Oh, now let me try to give a little background information for this number mem, as we call it here. There are two ways of understanding Kimlei B'Derabbanan. One way is to say that Kimlei B'Derabbanan addresses Bezdin and says to the Dayanim on the Bezdin that you have a choice now, so to speak. I don't mean that literally, but you have two punishments that evolve from the same Maisa Avera. You have to choose one of the two. And that's called Kimlei B'Derabbaninei. And of course, which of the two are they going to impose? The more chamur. That's one way of learning Kimlei B'Derabbaninei. The other way of learning Kimlei B'Derabbaninei is that there is a theoretical punishment. It's not going to be implemented by Beis Din. So Beis Din is not really caught in a bind here. How can they implement two punishments for the same action? But there's a conceptual, theoretical chiyuv of a very severe punishment. It's not actual, but it's theoretical. And this lechora is gonna be the issue here with Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega is gonna say the following: that kimlei b'derabbaninei depends upon practicality. It doesn't depend upon theory. In practical terms, there is no kanoim pogim bo because we're not sure about her status. And if, in practical terms, we cannot implement kimlei b'derabbaninei, call it sufik nefesh lahakel, if you will, then there's no kimlei b'derabbaninei. Because kimlei b'derabbaninei addresses itself to the Beis Din and tells the Beis Din you can't implement two punishments. And therefore there's going to be a patur as far as paying damages. But says Rabbi Kivega, in this case of akusis, where we're left with an impossibility of implementing kanoim pogim bo, it's a very nice theoretical chiyuv misa, because maybe she's akusis, but in practical terms, Beis Din is not going to get involved in this case. Beis Din is not going to issue a mandate that we should kill this man, right? Because maybe she's Jewish. Says Rabbi Kivega, if that be the case, then there's no kimlei b'derabbaninei. Because kimlei b'derabbaninei addresses it to whom? To Beis Din. Are you with me, Rabosai, or am I talking to the walls? You have to tell me that you're with me, because otherwise I don't know. So here in the paragraph number mem, he's going to prove that kimlei b'derabbaninei is not based on the practicality of implementing two, you know, we're tying the hands of Beis Din, you cannot implement two punishments. No, it's based on the theoretical chiyuv. How do we know such a thing? That's called Chayvei Misa Shogig, and I think, Herb, you mentioned it earlier. Not Rabbi Lechunya Ben Akona. Rabbi Lechunya Ben Akona of Chayvei Krisis of Onish Bidei Shemayim, that we don't accept. That's his own Das Yochid. But there's another issue about Chayvei Misa Shogig. So let's say, for example, Reuven falls off a high roof and he kills Shimon B'Shogeg. And the question is, does he have to pay the Yorshim damages? And the answer is no. Why not? Because Chayvei Misa Shogeg. In other words, he's guilty of Ritzicha. He may have to run very fast to the Ir Miklat. But we're not going to put him to death. So there's no Chayvei Misa. But he is implementing, if I can use that word, this should be a better word, but a chiyuv misa. What do I mean to say? There's an avera here for tzicha. There's a p'tur onshim. You know, we're not going to put him to death. You know, maybe there's a substitute onish. We'll send him to your mikla, and he better get there as fast as he can. But nevertheless, that's enough to knock off a chiyuv mamon. Alma, I underline this. You have the underline?
Yeah.
Alma, what we see from this sugya, is lo be'inan she'elav chiyuv misa. The next word is kibir fa'al. That kimlei b'derabbaninei does not depend upon befa'al. Or as I formulated a little differently than his formulation, it's not addressing Beis Din and saying there are no two punishments. Ela maisa, I would add another word here, maisa vera, haroi lechaivo misa, that's what I call theoretical or conceptual, potro michiv mama. And if that be the case, then even if we cannot implement the chiyuv misa, we're still nevertheless going to apply the principle of kimlei b'derabbaninei. Now again, Rabosai, please keep in mind, this has nothing to do with the tour that we discussed. The tour wants to know whether chovel b'chaver on Shabbos v'ein tzarech l'dam, is that even in a theoretical sense a chiyuv misa? And that depends upon malach shen tzricha l'gufa. That's not relevant to our discussion here. We're talking about a case where it's absolutely crystal clear that he should be chayav, but because of some technicality, let's call it shogeg, we cannot implement that chiyuv misa. If that be the case, then if we have a Maisa, a royal Chayva Misa, then he's potter from the Chiyuv Mamon. So Rabbi Kivenga now is really, really caught in a bind. His back is literally against the wall. He has no escape path over here. Rabbi Kivenga is caught in a what we call a checkmate. Why? Because if he's going to argue, well, we're in a situation of suffolk, and therefore we cannot apply Kim Levi the Rabbi Mine, well, that makes no sense, because we have a principle of suffolk mamon, hamotzi mekavel of haraya. And here the Magen Avraham is absolutely crystal clear. Maybe Rabbi Kivenga is saying something else. That you know what? You know why we don't apply Kim Levi the Rabbi Mine here? Not because of the issue of suffolk mamon, but we don't apply Kimlei Rabine here because of the fact that there's no Kanon Pogim Bo before. That the suffolk Misa, in a case of suffolk Nefoshes Lahakil, inhibits Bezdin from implementing the Chiyuv Misa. There's nothing here to knock off the Chiyuv Mamon. That's what Rabbi Kivenga means. Well, we have a checkmate again. Because we know that that's not so. Because of Chayvei Misa Shogigin. And in Chayvei Misa Shogigin, we look at the theoretical Chiyuv Misa. So here also, on the tzad that she is a kusis, meaning Geiri Arayis, she's a real McCoy kusis. You're full, how we say, full-blooded, what's the phrase in English? Is there a phrase called full-blooded? Did I make that up? No. You know, my wife, since my super ego, she's always telling me I make up words.
Someone had to make them up.
Yeah, but she doesn't like me to make them up. That's it. Anyway, so even I can, on the side that she's a full-blooded kusis, correct? So we're going to say, well, you know, there's no Kanoim Pogum because we don't know for sure that she's a full-blooded kusis. But on the other hand, what are you going to tell me now? If she's a full-blooded kusis, so then for sure there's no Chiyuv Mamon because of Kim Levi Ramine. What are you going to tell me? Well, we don't know if she's a full-blooded kusis. Well, okay, so it's a suffolk Kim Levi Ramine, but that's not going to help Rabbi Kivenga because Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. So now we'll say the following. Forget about Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. Yeah, you're right, but let's go lefiat sad that she's really chayevis misa. Okay, so what? So you're gonna say, well, suffolk. But on the other hand, we can't put it to death, right? Because of that suffolk, we can't implement the chiyuv misa. That's not gonna cut the mustard. In the case of Kim Levi the Rabbi, we couldn't care less whether or not we can implement the chiyuv misa. So we're really stuck on this, Rabbi Kivenga. And the one who comes to the salvation of Rabbi Kivenga is none other than Rabbi Elchanan Vasser. Again, how do I know this? Only because of the Mishkanos HaRoah. And this is the paragraph Yesh Lefarish. Now, in order to appreciate this Yesh Lefarish, we need an introduction. This, what I'm about to introduce, is a sugya here in Masechta Ksuvos Perek Shlishi on Daf Lamed Hei. This is the source for Chayvei Misa Shogigin. How do we know that Chayvei Misa Shogigin, which means that Bezdin is not going to implement the Chiyuv Misa, knocks off the Chiyuv Mamon, and we apply Kimlei Midrabi? So the answer is that there are two parshios in the Torah that address man killing somebody. Or something, I should say, I guess. One is in Parshas Emor, and that's the case of Makeh Behema. Makeh Behema means that Odom HaMazik. Odom HaMazik means he has to pay damages. Now, what happens if he was a shogeg? Let's say, for example, I kill your animal thinking it was my animal. Mistakenly, I killed your animal. Do I have to pay you or do I not have to pay you, Rabbi Osai? I'm waiting for an answer here. I'm not going to give you the answer because you all know the answer. You have to pay. That's called Adam Mu'adiola, Beim B'mezi, Beim B'shogeg. So as far as the parasha in Emor called Makeh Behema, Yishalmena, no difference between Shogeg and Mezi. Yechayev in all cases. Now we have a Hekesh between Makeh Behema, the parasha over there in Emor, and the case of Kimlei ben Ramine of Yinogfu Ishahara in Parashas Mishpatim. And we're going to say that's the case of Makeh Adam. Now, it's interesting, I'm not going to know the answer to your question if you can ask me how this works methodologically, but the methodology of Hekesh is very unique in this Gemara Daf Lamed Hey. It works with the principle called Lo Chilakta. What is Lo Chilakta? Lo Chilakta means that if the Torah equates in one context Mezid and Shogeg, then if we have a Gzeirah Shava or a Hekesh, then in another context, again we're going to apply the principle of Lo Chilakta be Mezid and Shogeg. Well, why do I say that this is very paradoxical? Because in one case we're going to say Lo Chilakta Lechaivo, that's case of Maka Odom, and in the other case, that's the case of Maka Behema, and in the other case of Maka Odom, we're going to say Lo Chilakta Lefotro. What it means is the following. That in the case of Maka Behema, he's chayav even for Shogeg. That's called Lo Chilakta Be Mezid LeShogeg. Meaning he's got to pay damages when he destroys his friend's animal, whether or not he did so Be Mezid or Be Shogeg. So it's Lo Chilakta LeChayvo. Does everybody have that? Now we have a Hekesh to Maka Odom, and here we're going to say Lo Chilakta LeFotro, which means the following. That just like in the case where he was chayav Misa, because of a mezid, he's potter from tashlumin. So too, he's potter from tashlumin in the case of shogeg. Do you see the difference between the two? It's sort of like the eye. You know, the eye sees everything upside down. You know what I'm talking about? So here, we're going to flip everything upside down. By virtue of this hekesh, we're going to say that just like lo chilakta here, lo chilakta there. Again, the lo chilakta in maka behema is lo chilakta lechaivo. Meaning even in Shogeg is Chayim. In the case of Lo Chilakta in Maka Adam, we're going to say Lo Chilakta Lefotro, and he's Potter in the case of Shogeg. This is the Alfusa that we're going to get to in Mitzvah Shema Daf Lamed Hey, from which we derive the conclusion that Shogegin, that Chayim Misa Shogeg Petur. This is before Rebel Chanan. Don't blame Rebel Chanan for this. He's not guilty of that. Okay. Comes along Rebel Chanan, and he has his own Lo Chilakta. This is pretty wild. And he says the following. I'm just going to read it very quickly, the part that's not relevant, because it's just a review of what I said. I'm going to just mumble to myself quickly. Yesh lefresh lo domi lechiv misa shogigin te'inu nafkalu lekamon me'akesha te'maka od maka behema te'ma maka behema lo chilakta bo ben shog lemezen lechaivo. Right, lechaivo. Is af maka odom lo techalik bo bein shogig lemezi lefotro. So that's the source for chayvei misa shogig, and that he's potter from tashlum. Okay. Now he says the following. What's going to be in the case of safek chiyuv misa? Correct? Now again, let's put our minds into the body of the Magen Avraham, right? We are now thinking like the Magen Avraham is going to think, right? So you have a Safek Chiyuv Misa. So what principle are you going to apply now? Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Araya. You can't make him pay based on a Safek Chiyuv Misa, because maybe he's not Chayv Misa. Maybe he is Chayv Misa, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. Says Rabbi Chanan, I will be safek chiyuv misa ad rabba nakish lehepech. We're going to take this hekesh between a chiyuv of mazik, which is hamotzi mechavel raya kind of chiyuv, and a chiyuv misa. Kishem shebemaka behema chilakta, please underline that word, chilakta bein safek levadai, which means the following. Then if I destroyed your animal, I pay damages. Let's say I can't prove one way or the other whether I destroyed your animal, right? They're trade. There are two eidim say I destroyed your animal, two eidim say I didn't destroy the animal. So I'm potter. That's called chilakta. Do you follow? Do you see the word chilakta? That's the key to understand this Rebel Chanan. Chilakta being safek levadai. Safek is potter and vada is chayav, because of the principle of Otzi Mechvel of Araya. Kach, again based on this hekesh, is techalek, right, chilakta, b'maka odo made safek levadai. In other words, only in the case of vadai are we going to apply the p'tur of Kim Levi the Rabbi. But in the case of safek, we're going to say he has to pay. Look, Rabosa, I have to tell you, it's very creative. You know, I give him an A plus for creativity. How many of you followed the logic of Rebbe Elchanan just by show of hands? You know, half and half. Should I go over it one more time? Again, he says that this hekesh works in the following. In the Gemara itself, it works with lo chilakta. But let's say we have an issue where chilakta, where the Torah would be mechalik between case A and case B. Then once again, we would have this hekesh and prove that in the case of Makah Adam, chilakta, right? So we're not bound to lo chilakta. You know, in the case of Shogeg and Mason, we have a lo chilakta. But in the case of Safek, we're going to have a case of chilakta. Why is chilakta? Because you can only force a person in Makah Behemah to pay up damages if it was Vadai. But if it was only Safek, we're going to apply the principle of Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. Therefore, we have to apply this principle of chilakta by virtue of the hekesh to the case of Makah Adam. But here, the chilakta is going to come, is going to lead you to the opposite conclusion, namely, that in the case of Safek, you have to pay. We just finished saying that in Makah Behemah, if you have a Safek, you don't pay. Well, paradoxically, in the case of Makah Adam, in a Safek, you will have to pay. Why? Because of chilakta. Again, because just like in lo-chilakta, it doesn't matter which direction you go in, so too in the case of chilakta, right, in lo-chilakta, it doesn't matter which way you go. So too in the case of chilakta, meaning suffix, we're going to again say it doesn't matter which way you go. So it could be that the chilakta in the case of Makah Behemah is going to lead to the conclusion that in suffering he's potter, and the same principle of chilakta is going to lead you to the conclusion that in Makah Adam he's going to be, in the case of suffering, he's going to be chayav.
So
Khan
just ignores
the lo-chilakta? No. He's saying that methodologically it doesn't matter whether chilakta or lo-chilakta. It's the same idea of a hekesh. Now, what's the method of a hekesh? The method of a hekesh is to set up an equation. The equation could go either way. It doesn't matter. It's still an equation. And you have to see the details of each case. So when we talk about Makah Behemah B'mezid, we're going to say that he's chayav even in the case of Shogeg. So that's called lo-chilat. In the case of Makah Behemah B'shogeg, B'safek, right? We don't know if we don't have testimony. Then again, we're going to say chilakta. And we're going to say that there's a difference between Mezid and Shogeg. But whatever it is, we have to maintain the same rules as we apply them by virtue of the Hekesh to Makah Adam. If it's a rule called chilakta, we're going to apply the rule of chilakta. If it's a rule lo chilakta, we're going to apply the rule of lo chilakta. So if you're talking about Mezid and Shogeg, then you're going to say that we derive from Makah Behemah lo chilakta. Hence, in the case of Makah Adam, you're going to be chayiv even in the case of Shogeg, because lo chilakta. And you're chayiv in the case of Shogeg as well, just like in Makah Behemah, you're chayiv in Shogeg. If you're talking about a case of Safek, then you're going to apply a principle called chilakta. Chilakta, you know, the mathematics here is very, very complex, but let's get it straight. In the case of Safek, we're going to apply the principle of chilakta. Why? Because we're going to say in Makah Behemah that in the case of Vadai, you pay compensation. In the case of Safek, you don't pay compensation because I'm Motzi Mechavero. Now we're going to apply the same chilakta in the case of Makah Adam. And here the lo chilakta is going to lead us to the exact opposite conclusion, namely that in a case of Vadai, you're Potter, and in a case of Safek, you're Chayav. Hence, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Honestly, Rabosai, without this Rabbi Elchanan, I would have said something totally different.
Yeah.
I would have said what's called a cheskas chiyuv. What do I mean? We had long discussions, who remembers, when we spoke about a ketani yisoma, where there's mechila in the case of pitur. Do you remember this whole discussion? We had a Yerushalmi, Siluk, and then the whole 9 yards. We had Rav Mona, right? And he came to the conclusion that she could be mocheles, and we worked very hard overtime to try to figure out how could she have mechila before our mother bin din. So one of the conclusions we offered, one of the possibilities was that the bia itself, the maisa bia, generates what's called a schus tvia. She already has a schus tvia. And we have even another extreme possibility that her rights to the knas chachal l'mafreya. I'm not going to go, I never understood that l'mafreya business. But anyway, but let's call it a schus tvia. Hence this siluk. Oh, what I would like to say is that once the Maisa Bia took place, that's already, that generates a Schus Tvir. Now he wants to say, well, you know what? Maybe she started, you know, being very sincere at a certain point, and she wanted to accept her gerus, and maybe she's a gioris, and therefore kind of unpogable, and hence I don't want to pay the knas. So what I'm suggesting is that the maisa bia itself creates a cheskas chiyuv. This is not a motzi mechavel of a raya. A motzi mechavel of a raya means I don't know if there's a chiyuv to begin with. But in a case where I have every reason to believe that this stage is set for the chiyuv, and now we want to say, well, maybe she did this, maybe she did that, maybe there was an admixture of some Jewish blood, and our mother was really Jewish. All that is how... Adarabba. I'll give you an example. You know that there's one day in the Gemara, we don't paskin like this, that bari v'shema bari adif. So you say, Jeff, Berzon, you owe me 1,000. Now, I can even say one of two things to you. I can either say, I don't remember, maybe I did borrow 1,000, maybe I didn't. Or I can say, yes, I borrowed 1,000, but I don't remember if I paid you back. So there's one data that goes as far as to say, bari adif, even in the case of what's called eni yodea im hischayavti. I don't even remember if I ever took a dime from you. There's another data that says the following. Bari v'shem lav bari adif, in the case of eni yodeim hischayavti, but if eni yodeim parati, then bari adif lahotzi. So the Ran is famous for saying, why? What about bari v'shem lav bari adif? The proof is, the burden of proof is on your shoulders. It proves that I never paid you back. I'm saying maybe I did pay you back. So the answer to the Ran is that there's a cheskas chiv. Once I borrow the money from you, the Maisa Machayev in Dini Momenos is already set in stone. I want to remove and detonate or neutralize that Chiyuv Mom, and then the burden of proof is on me to remove the Chiyuv Mom. So I'm just using this don't equate them, you know, but just as a to open up the brain a little bit, Lasaver Saozen, as we call it, open up the ears.
A template.
And I'm suggesting here also, the man was guilty of being Ma'anis. Now you want to know, well, he claims that she was an Ochris. He, though, maybe she was a Jewess. You know what I'm saying? So in this case, we already have a Schus Tvias Mammon that's already set. So Rabbi Kibbeges says the following. You want to prove that there's Kimleib the Ramine? Kimleib the Ramine is a poter. Well, you have to prove that there's a poter of Kimleib the Ramine. And until you do so, you're chayv to pay Mammon. Now again, Rabosa, I'm shortening a longer discussion here because, in truth, you can split it in two ways. You could say that the proof is on him to prove and establish that there is Kimleib the Ramine, but you can say it a different way, that the proof is on us to prove that she's a non-Jew, that she's in fact a purebred Kuzis. We don't know about that. So until we know about that, there's no chiv that emerges. So the suffering is in the chiv itself. It all depends how you view this. If you're viewing it as a vare chiv with a possibility of kimleib the ramamine, then I understand that the chiv is there. The kimleib ramamine is a mafkia, as a poter. That's called eni yodeim parati. And the burden of proof is on him, and the Rebbe Kibbeges makes sense. But logically, one could argue that it's not a question of whether there's kimleib the ramamine. Whether there's kimleib the ramamine depends upon whether she's Jewish or not. You apply kanoim pogimbo. And we don't know if she's Jewish, so we don't know if there's kanoim pogimbo. And therefore, we don't know if there's kimleib the ramamine. So therefore, he would be off the hook, and that's certainly the sheet of the Magen Avraham. Now I want you to look on page Tzadi Gimel. Again, it might not be in order, but see if you can find in your package something that says Tzadi Gimel on top. And you'll see a paragraph that starts Mem Aleph. You have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw it.
He says the following. Od yesh lefarish, the suffek chiv misa lo dami, chiv misa means kanon pogibo, lo dami lechayve misas shogigin. In chayve misas shogigin, we apply the principle of kimleib the rabmine, even though Bezdin is not going to implement the chiv misa before. But that's not the same as, well, we're not going to implement Kanoim Fogim Bovafol. Why? The Bechaive Misos Shogigin Hamaisa. See, again, I'm going to add my own words here. You don't have to accept this, but you know, sometimes I read a text, especially of a contemporary, and I feel compelled to add words. That's just my style. The Bechaive Misos Shogigin Ha Chiv Hu Borer. There's something here that's absolutely clear, and that is that Reuven killed Shimon. And if Reuven killed Shimon, that's definitely a Chiv Misa. Now, what you could argue is that Beis Din is not punishing him because of a shogeg, but even if Beis Din doesn't punish him because he's a shogeg, that still doesn't undermine the premise, which is absolutely certain, that he did a maisa hamachayev, meaning a maisa ritzicha. So the ritzicha itself is absolutely crystal clear. Not so in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo. I don't have a clear chiyuv. Because here the suffix is al etzem ha-maisa. Did he have be'ilo with a nachris? Or did he have a be'ilo with a bas Yisrael? We don't know. In such a case, lo shayach be'din kim levi the rabbinei. Kim levi the rabbinei in the case of chayvei misa shogim is based on the vados, the absolute certainty about the maisa ritzicha. And maisa ritzicha in the theoretical world is Machayev Misa. It might not be Machayev Misa for other reasons, but we, even if those other reasons block us from implementing the Onesh of Misa, but nevertheless, one thing is crystal clear, the Misa Machayev is there. It's only up to our own ship. Like my Rebbe used to say about Katan, that a katan is potter from onshim. So my Rebbe was of the opinion, it's against Rebbe Kivega, by the way, that that's only a patur onshim. That really the katan has a maisa vera. He based it on Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim had a parsha called Shivcha Harufa. Shivcha Harufa is a shivcha that had a bia to a ben teisha. He was a royal bia, but he's still a katan. And yet he brings a karmon for that. And he had other rayas. There's a sugya of Ravashi. Not Ravashi. Who was it? Rafram, a sugya in Bava Kamma, that he damaged someone when he was a katan, and they made him pay damages when he was a gadol. Anyway, this is, by the way, in the news today. I don't know if you heard about this case in Saudi Arabia. It's making the rounds. They just put a young man to death, and they do it pretty gruesomely, for an act that he committed when he was 10 years old. No, this is a Maisa Avera, the Ptur Onshin, so we wait to him. Anyway, so getting back to...
Is this chiluk that we're making in terms of that he did a Maisa Shogi, but we're still calling it a Maisa Avera, therefore there's a Ritzika that we're not giving him. How far do we take it? Do we say that someone who is a Balahar Klashkein Lahar Go, so I killed him in self-defense, so I'm supposed to, yet I did a hezek in the process, I am I putter from paying back the hezek because I really did a maisa ritzicha that should have garnered me a
right. So that's,
or even the Kanan Pokemon.
So Yechiel, what I'm going to ask you as a favor is to wait until we get to the Mishnah Lamelech. Where is the Mishnah Lamelech here? I think it's on page Sadi Dalid. Okay, I'll find it for you. There's a lot of pages here that we want to go through, but I'll find it for you. Because you know what it's relevant to? We're going to have a discussion about whether Zimri comes under the halach of Kim Lev the Ramine if he breaks Kalim when he defends himself and kills Pinchas. That never actually happened. But the Achronim, dating back, I think it's to the Mishnah Melech, I always forget, it's one famous Achron, I think it's the Mishnah Melech, it's going to come up here in the pages, is of the opinion, by the way, that in Kanoim Pogimbo, the bow, in this case Zimri, is allowed to defend himself under the law of Habola Hargacha Hashkeg Lahargo. And then the question becomes, if he broke someone's, you know, shirayim, he ripped his shirayim while he was defending himself against Pinchas, whether or not we apply the principle of Kimlei Rabbim. So that's why I'm asking you to hold off, because I think when we get there, we'll have a more intelligent way of answering your question. But again, just to go over this last paragraph, because I think it's fascinating, he's saying that any equation between Chaimi Mises Shogigin and the case of Kanon Pogumbo of Rabbi Kivager is an unfair equation. Because in the case of Chaimi Mises Shogigin, we know that he's a Rotzeach. That's unquestionable. And that theoretical Chiv Misa is absolute and certain, and that's going to knock off the Chiv Mama. Not so in the case of Rabbi Kivager of Akusis, because since we have doubts as to whether she's Akusis, hence we have a doubts whether Kanon Pogimbo, we don't know if we have the Maisa Vera Bechlal. If she's a Jewish girl, again, I'm not going to give him Shishi for raping a Jewish girl, but he's not having relations with a Nachris, so there's no Kanon Pogimbo. So I don't even know if the Chiv Misa emerges at all. Here we have a Vare Chiv Misa based on the Halacha, you know, the Hekesh that we derive, that Chaimi Misa Shogigin, and therefore the din is that Kimlei Rabbani applies. But in a case where we have doubts as to whether or not the Chiv Misa ever emerged, then we don't have any Chiv Misa at all to begin with, we're not going to apply the principle of Kimlei Rabbani. Hence Rabbi Kivager says, Habol Akusis is Chayiv Knas. Now I'd like you to turn to page Tzadi Dalet. Again, you may have to turn over pages inside out, upside down, or whatever. I tried to do the best I can. I was motivated by trying to save money for the yeshiva, not to use too many pages, and things got a little bit out of order. So we're looking at a paragraph that starts Mem Gimel on the bottom right. The premise of Rabbi Kivagan and Afla is that when you do apply the principle of Kanoim Pogimbo, that's considered a Chiv Misa, and therefore Kimlei Rabbani would apply. The Yeshli Ayin Buzet, the very underlying premise of the Achronim is highly doubtful. And he quotes the Ramah in Sanhedrin. Hode Amrin and Hosimim Nefach Zimri Vehargol Pinchas. So Zimri turns around and he kills Pinchas. Eino Neragolov. Why? Because Pinchas, Rabbo say, this is a mind-boggling statement that's going to come out of my mouth now. Pinchas is a rodent. That's pretty wild, though.
No? Yeah.
If you named any of your children or grandchildren after Pinchas, you know, this is a little bit of an insult. You know, that Pinchas is a rodent. But that's the way halacha works.
Yeah.
You're right. You have to be that flawed to say this, right? So he says like this. Pinchas is a rodent. And yet, Kanoim Pogumbo. So we're juggling two things that sound mutually exclusive. How can you call Pinchas Kanoim Pogumbo? We know that King Pinchas Elio and all the schus that he got brisked in his soul is because of Kanos, and at the same time, we're calling him Rodev.
But it's a private Rodev.
Let's, if you don't mind, Yosef, I want to go here with the Ramah, because the Ramah was about 1,000 years before Yosef. So, and then we'll. I know I don't mind hearing your svar, but when we have a Rishon on the table, I prefer to give him Zchut Ktima. Says the Ramah, because Ein Mitzvah Lahargo. I underline this. I hope you have my underline, because this is critical. This is going to change everything that we're about to learn. Everything depends upon the following: mitzvah lahargo or ein mitzvah lahargo, and whether or not the kanoi, in this case Pinchas, has the status of a rode vis-a-vis the bow, this fellow who's having be'ila publicly with Cosby, all depends upon whether kanoim pogimbo is a mitzvah. Comes along the Ramah, and he says that kanoim pogimbo is not a mitzvah. Ella reshus bi'alma. Now again, I think what he means by reshus in my brisket terminology is a chiyuva mitzvah. It's not a chiyuva mitzvah. There's no mitzvah of kanoim pogimbo. And there are 50 million conditions that have to be fulfilled before you can take the mantle of kanos. And his proof, the Ramah, that it's not a mitzvah is the Gemara concludes about Pinchas and about Kanoim, halacha v'ein morin kein. So if Pinchas would have come in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe, should I kill this guy Shimon, the Nasi Shimon or not? Moshe would have said, don't ask, you know, which more or less means do what you have to do, but don't ask me, I can't give you a hurrah. Oh, now he says the following. Kishem shenitan rishus lePinchas lahargo leZimri. So Pinchas' status is that there's a heter to kill somebody under the law of Kanon Pogubo, but Halach Vein Morin Kain, it's only rishus. Kach nitna rishus leZimri lahatzil atzmo benafsho shel Pinchas. As long as there's no mitzvah to kill Zimri, says the Ramah, Zimri has rights to defend himself, and he has rights, therefore, to classify Pinchas as a rodev. Again, had Pinchas been obligated to kill him, that's one story, then Pinchas is not a rodev. But if he's not obligated to do so, ulefi dvarav, mevuar degam b'makom she'ein chiyuv misa l'agav v'chak rishus hu hargo nami mikra mechuyov misa v'kim leib n'rami minei. In other words, if we accept the position of Rabbi Kiveger and the flaw, and we accept the position of the Ramah, so we're talking about Kanoim Pogimbo, I would have said to you that Kanoim Pogimbo, since it's only rishus, therefore it doesn't come under kim leib n'rami minei, because you only have rishus, and I'll prove it to you. Because the Ramah says that that Zimri can turn around and kill Pinchas. If that be the case, then Kanoim Pogimbo is a whole different kind of halach. It's only rishus bi'alma. If it's only rishus bi'alma, that's not really called a chiyuv misa, correct? So if that be the case, then this would be. Just one second, I just want to get the mathematics correctly. That according to Rabbi Kiveger Eger, since he's applying the principle of Kim Leib and the Ramine, even in a case of Kanon Pogimbo, it means that you don't need a Chiv Misa, all you need is a Rishus. Oh. So what we're saying now, let me try to say it this way. What opens up in front of our eyes here is a new vista, a new possible explanation for Rashi. Let's go back to the drawing board. Rashi identifies Kusis as a nachus. The question is, Kanoim Pogimbo. The answer is that Kanoim Pogimbo, if not for Rabbi Kiveger, would not be enough to trigger off Kim Leib and Ramine. Because in order to trigger off Kim Leib and Ramine, we need a chiyuv misa. Let's say, for example, again, what I'm about to say is highly questionable. But let's say in the case of a rodev, there's a mitzvah to kill the rodev. Or, for example, Baba Machteres, right? A guy breaks into your house and burglar in the middle of the night. There's a mitzvah to kill him. Then I would apply Kim Leib and Ramine. Baba Machteres, the Gemara says, if he breaks Kalim, he doesn't have to pay for the Kalim. Right? Because there's a case of a mitzvah lahargo. But in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, which the Ramah says is not a mitzvah but only a reshus, I would not apply the principle of Kim Leib Ramine. Hence we have a brand new answer for Rashi. And Rabbi Kiveger's question is no question. What was Rabbi Kiveger objecting to? After you pay a knas in the case of Kusis, it's Kanoim Pogimbo, because Rashi identifies Kusis as what? As a nachris. The answer is Kanoim Pogimbo is not enough to trigger off Kim Leib Ramine. Why? Because it's not a mitzvah. When there's a mitzvah lahargo, that's called a rodef, and then we apply the principle of Kim Leib Ramine. But if we're talking about a heter and a rishus to kill him, that's not enough to trigger off Kim Leib Ramine. Rabbi Kiveger doesn't assume so. Rabbi Kiveger expands the scope of Kim Leib Ramine to apply even to the case of rishus. Hence, he has a problem with Kanoim Pogimbo, and he has to answer, well, maybe she's not Jewish, there's Sofik Kanoim Pogimbo, we can't kill him, and so forth and so on. Ulech Ora, he says, Yesh lo chiyach kei mi'arambam. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Rotzeach says that a rodev is kol Yisrael mitzuvim lahatzil es hanirdof miyad harodev. Okay, this is not the proof that we're looking for. This is only setting up the proof. This is the Rambam and Hilchos Rotzeach. But we want to compare the Lashon of Rambam and Hilchos Rotzeach in the case of rodev, where the Rambam explicitly calls it a mitzvah, to another Rambam in Hilchos Gneva, And the Rambam there is addressing the case of Baba Machteres. And the Rambam writes, quote, Rishus Yesh Lakol Lahargo. The Rambam explicitly changes his language. In Hilchos Rodef, at the beginning of Ritzicha, he calls it a mitzvah. In Hilchos Baba Machteres in Gneva, he calls it a Rishus. And yet, there's no difference between Baba Machteres and Rodef as far as Kimlei B'Rabbine. The sugya in Sanhedrin Ayin Gimel of Kimlei B'Rabbine applies Kimlei B'Rabbine even to the case of Baba Machteres. But what language does Rambam use to describe the killing of the Baba Machteres? A Rishus. So you say maybe the Rambam didn't mean it. What do you mean he didn't mean it? In Hilchos Rodef, he calls it a mitzvah. In Hilchos Geneva, when he gets to Bob Machteres, he calls it a Rishus. You got to take the Rambam seriously here. This is serious business. You know, if there's one thing I tried to learn from my Rebbe, it's take the Rambam seriously, and he uses words very meticulously. Sometimes that's good for the Jews, sometimes it's bad for the Jews. In this case, it's bad. It's a little bit bad for the Jews. Herb, you have to go?
Yeah, I have an appointment.
Okay, so great. You stayed for 99% of the Shia. I'm very happy that you were able to come. And whenever you come next, we'll be happy to.
My doctor gave me a half hour delay because I told him I had a Shia.
Wow, he must be a tzaddik.
He's a frum guy.
He's going to get a chelik in your Talmud Torah. You know, this is the opposite of the Noshim of my Zohar. They push their sons out. Here he delayed.
So. I asked him for Rishus and he gave me as a mitzvah.
He gave it to you. Excellent. Very good. So again, what are we getting from this analysis of the Rambam? That Kimlei B'Rabbine applies even in the case of a Rishus. This would support Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega is smiling in his grave now. This is Sifsos of Dovros Bekever. We can now wave a flag. Rabbi Kivega is right. You don't need a mitzvah to set off the principle of Kimlei B'Rabbine. However,
well, how do we know that? Because we know Machteres Kimlei B'Rabbine.
Yeah, that's the case of Kimlei B'Rabbine. The case of Kimlei B'Rabbine, Rodef is kind of a spin-off of Baba Machteres, right? So that's the sugya in Sanhedrin, Ayin Gimel, and that's the sugya that he's part of.
Yeah, the Rambam,
right? Ulam, he says, Yesh Lodun Mitzad Acher, the Kanonim Pogumbo, Lo Yipotah Shlubikevadim Yachzer Aboel, Vyaroges Akanoi Enu Neregalov, Isulo Mikri Chiv Nefoshes, the Ukmi Laboel, Neged Akanoi, Vieno Nechshav Mechuyev Misa Yosem Akanoi. So here he's quoting the Or Sameach, Rameir Simcha. Honestly, I'm not sure I understand it, but let me just say over the Rameir Simcha, and you'll fill in the missing blanks here, because I'm not 100% sure, it's clear to me. Rameir Simcha wants to say the following, that to talk about a Chiv Misa would have to mean that we kill so-and-so. That's called a Chiv Misa, even if it's only Rishus, but There's Misa here. It cannot make sense to call this a Chiv Misa if that person that you're killing has just the same amount of rights, or I don't know what word to use, the same level of rights to turn around and kill you. You're telling me you have a Chiv Misa to kill him, or call it a Rishus, whatever you want to call it. That's not Misa. I'll prove to you that it's not Misa. He can turn around and have you knocked off. So that's called a Chiv Misa, and the language of Rameh Simcha is Uki leBoel Kineged HaKanoi. You've got on one side the Kanoi and the other side the Boel. Both of them have the same identical Rishus to kill one another. This is like, you know, anarchy over here, right? So the Boel, let's start with the Kanoi. We'll call him by name Pinchas. So Pinchas has a right to kill the Boel Zimri. Zimri has a right to kill Pinchas. So what are you going to tell me? That Zimri is Chayav Misa? Maybe I should say that Pinchas is Chayav Misa. why are you choosing the Boel and saying, well, let's point that finger of accusation at him, he's Chayav Misa, and therefore I'm going to apply Kimlev to the Rabbinei? Why not point your finger to the Kanoi, to Pinchas, and say, well, he's the one who's Chayav Misa, because just the same rights that he has to kill the Boel has rights to kill the Kanoi. So again, Rabbi Yosef, I'm not sure 100% that I understand Rabbi Yosef, but I think he's saying that the best way of understanding Rashi is that there's no Kim Levi the Rabbi in the case of Kanoim Pogim. It just doesn't exist. And not because of the element of Rishus so much, you know, as opposed to Mitzvah, because we saw that there's Kim Levi the Rabbi in the case of Bob Machteris, which is only a Rishus, but rather for a different reason. The reason why there's no Kim Levi the Rabbi is because he can't call this Nefashos. The whole principle of Kim Levi the Rabbi is based on Nefashos, meaning this guy deserves to die. Well, what do you mean he deserves to die? How can you tell me he deserves to die and then tell me that the Kanoi deserves to die? Both are on the same level. They both have the green light and the Rishus, the permission to kill one another. So they're basically fighting a battle over here. It's like, you know, it's like a football game between two teams. Like, which team has more of a right to win than the other team? You might root for your favorite team. Maybe I'm rooting for Pinchas because I like him better than I like Zimri. That makes sense, right? But that doesn't mean that Pinchas is in a better state of being than Zimri. So, Bosa, I know we're going to about to daven Mincha now. What I'd like you to do is the following. If you have page Tzadi Hey, then keep that on the top of your again, it might be upside down or whatever, you'll find Tzadi Hey. So keep that on top of this package. There's a Shiori Karbon here at the bottom of page Tzadi Dalib, which I'd like to study on my own. I think I'm going to probably skip it. But what I would like to do tomorrow is begin on page Tzadi Hey. So let's make a note of this, because I always forget. At the Yom Revi'i for Wednesday, we want to take a look at page Tzadi Hey. So we're going to wrap this up, Spleen Edit, tomorrow. We're going to have a lot to discuss tomorrow about Baba Machteres. The Rambam seems to say it's a Rishus, other Rishonim say it's a Mitzvah. And then on Daf Tzadi Vav, we're going to have a whole sugya of Rov and Karov. And Kol Kavua Kemechzal Mechzidon. Again, Ksubis is Shas Kut, so you can't play me.
Well, all these questions really discuss whether the Uganda, Rabbi Machteres, whether he would be butt to Hashem if he broke something, or whether Zimri would be. Well, why did they ask the question from the side of the one who kills Rabbi Machteres or the one who kills Zimri?
Right. They broke. That's going to come up also. That if Pinchas is allowed to kill, Zimri. What did I say? Anyway, if Zimri's allowed to kill Pinchas, then if Zimri breaks Caleb.
No, I'm saying, what if Pinchas broke Caleb on his way to kill Zimri? So he did a Maisa Ratzicha Pinchas, right? And so we've now said that the Maisa alone should be enough to be popped in. Maybe Pinchas should have to pick the kid. Maybe that, I mean, what is the end?
Right.
And the same thing if someone kills above my thirst.
Let me think about it. If you're while I'm talking, even though I should be thinking about my prayers.